Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 1:16. Luke 1:16. We're glad you're with us out there. Glad you are tuning in tonight. We're going to have some good word. We're glad if you're in the house, and we're glad if you're looking into the house. Praise the Lord. God is good. Luke 1:16. This is going to be a little bit different tonight. This is not an actual how-to or particularly just for you personally, although it is for you personally, but it's very corporate, and it's exactly what we need to do. This is called The Prophet and the Prayers. And so we're going to talk about how this works. And I, knowing you all, I believe you'll enjoy it. Luke 1:16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, we know that this is a prophecy about John the Baptist. And we talked before about he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We've mentioned that many times in a lot of different sermons. So he's like this construction worker in the spirit, who cut not just a narrow path, but just this super highway in the spirit so that thousands and thousands could come into the kingdom of God. That's what he did. He was that voice. He was raising up the valleys, taking down the mountains by the authority of his speaking. He's taking down all the obstacles so that the King of Glory can come in and come in as people's Savior. And we know that's what happened, right? Yep. Jesus is our Savior. And so that's what the prophet John was doing. Well, in the last days, we are called to be corporately, we are called to be like John the Baptist. We are to be the voices, or a voice together, of one crying in the wilderness, crying not wah wah, but crying as in declaring that the valleys are up, the mountains are down, and the King of Glory can come on through. Amen. Amen. So this is who we are. So the question is, how did he do that? It wasn't by human might, but it's by the Spirit of God. And he wasn't the first guy to do it, because we know Elijah did it. And so this is what I want you to get. Elijah built a highway for God in a very dark and sinful era. Kind of like today. Yeah. Okay? So he built a highway of holiness when Israel was worshiping a heathen god. You remember that? Remember the prophets of Baal? Mm-hmm. Did y'all do your homework?
Yes.
You did? Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you read about Elijah, but if you backed up, you know the stories. Y'all read about Elijah and Elisha. But listen to Isaiah 35:8. I'm going to read two versions. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Now let me give you a better translation. There will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It's for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on it. So anyway, it's a clear path. You can see how to go. Did you know, okay, I'm going to get country on you here. So if you want to catch an armadillo, you have to set the trap and you have to set up a path, because they won't just come to food. You have to like bounce them off like a pinball, and they have, y'all know that, don't you? Yeah, I see some of you guys know that. They have to walk into the path. So an armadillo is kind of like a fool. Amen. And, you know, don't call anyone a fool. But the truth is here, the Bible says not to. But the truth right here is that when you get on this road, you can't mess up. It's going to take you to where you want to go. The grace of God will take you to where you want to go. Praise the Lord. So Elijah's job at the time was to get Baal worship out of the way. Remember that? Okay. And so in his day, evil had infiltrated so much of the people that they didn't even know right from wrong. Does that sound like today? Because people think today that love is a certain way. We just love everything everybody does. And that's not God and that's not love. That's dangerous. But yet, see, these people were going through the same thing. And so the prophets of Baal were in charge. And we know that Ahab and Jezebel was forcing the religion and people were getting into it. Prophets of Baal running everything. And so what God did was he anointed three men. He anointed Hazael, who became the king of Syria. And listen, he was a heathen. But he was a civil leader. And so I just want to let you know, could it be that God will even use people that aren't Christians to help straighten things out? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. We've had presidents that weren't very sold out to God, but they helped. And then we've had it the other way too. And then we've had some in the middle, all kinds. But anyway, Hazael was chosen. And then there's this guy named Jehu. And he's this violent military man. And then, of course, we have Elijah, who is the spiritual leader. So these three guys are anointed, and they're called to take out Baal. And they do. They do. They wipe out the Baal worship. But I want you to get what's happening. What's happening is Elijah is preparing the people for a visitation of the Lord. Okay? He's preparing a people. He's trying to get them to a place so they can receive. Come on. Y'all hear? A lot of times prophets will help move you into a place where you can receive. Come on. Now y'all aren't babies at this. Y'all understand that apostles and prophets didn't pass away. Come on. Y'all understand that. You've read the Bible. So, they're used to do this. And so he's preparing. And so I want to tell you that this is exactly what we should be doing. It's exactly. We need to pray for God to anoint people in government. We need to pray that his will is done. And he will do it as we continue to pray. Pray for the right ones to be in and the wrong ones to be out according to God's will. Not your choice, God's choice. Amen. Pray for justice concerning corruption. We need to be praying about that. Pray for Americans to be enlightened to the truth. Blinders off. Let us all see the real truth. We all need to see the truth. Amen. So, And then here's a key. Keep praying with authority. Use your authority. Because church, our prayer is our first and foremost powerful weapon. Prayer is at the top. It's the mightiest thing you can do. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through preaching, but the sword of God's word can flash only where prayer has prepared the way. Meaning that if you prayed for me, I can get a revelation. Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed for me to get a revelation. Somebody prayed for you. Nothing happens unless it's spoken in the earth. Right. Somebody prayed that we would all get together. Somebody prayed for you to be prosperous.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed that you would get to the right church so your life could change. Somebody did that. There was somebody somewhere. I want you to know that I call out people's names that I don't even know who they are. And I'll just pray for them. I may not ever know till heaven. But if that comes to mind, just pray for that person. Just pray for that person. And then you know your grandma probably prayed for you. And your mama prayed for you. And we've prayed for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But things happen when prayer happens. I've told you the story over and over. Just mention it quickly again. Remember the story about the people who moved to the Ukraine? Remember? And they set up a radio station. Nobody replied. Nobody replied. Never got one reply. I think it was Ukraine. Am I right? Thank you. I only have the Holy Ghost and Deb. Danny's gone. So we have to work that out. Okay. So, huh? Third, yeah, let's go Ukraine. I'm pretty sure that's true. We can look it up. So they're in this country and nothing happens. And then these people in America decide they're going to pray. And they start praying for the Ukraine. And all of a sudden, everyone starts listening to this radio channel. And they start getting dozens and dozens of calls in. Why? Because somebody prayed. Because you have to be drawn by the Father. And you can't be drawn by the Father unless someone is praying.
Yeah, that's good.
I just put it to the test.
Yeah.
So I just picked someone a few weeks ago. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Y'all going, I don't wonder who it is. It's none of you guys. Although I do pray for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I just put it to the test and I saw change.
We did.
We saw the change. It was amazing. So you see what I'm saying? You get revelation because people are praying for you. So the value of the prayer meetings in this house are just at the top of what needs to go on here. The prayer meetings, the one Pastor Danny leads on Tuesday morning, the thermostats, the one in the room, the 20 till meeting that we have in there. Those things are so important. Well, like y'all just pray for 4 minutes. Yeah, but there's so many of us and we're getting the job done and we're making our supply and God can do something with that. He works on the service at that time. He works on the people who are in the house at that time because we're building a highway for the service. Amen. Ray Barnett made a tape years ago. You probably don't know who he is, but he reported that in 1975, Mozambique fell under a communist control, and the Christians there characteristically were imprisoned for their faith. And so he reported then, though, that Brazilians rose in prayer, and it saved the country. Isn't that interesting? So, prayer will do what it's designed to do. And what he did then, this is back in 1975, he cried out to the Americans to build 100,000 person prayer army. Well, I want you to know today that we have way more than that. In fact, there are several prayer armies going forth. There's lots of people that have gotten together. I mean, and I'm in the Flashpoint Army. I love it. I'm standing for what I believe God wants to do, all those things. But the prayer armies, we're members of Daughters of Zion. So we pray with Pastor Lynn Hammond. We are also members of, Worldwide Prayers. So we pray with Billy Brim and so on and so on. I would just, and many of you, how many thermostats in the room? Okay, I would just encourage you to be a part of a prayer group in this church because I want to build several more than what we have right now. And I just encourage you to pray with people that you know how to pray. And I'll be happy to tell you who they are. Amen. So it's just so important to be part of a corporate group doing something. So Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, that's just going to depend on how seriously we're willing to take God and to extend and to give ourselves to him. I mean, how much will we do? Well, obviously, you're at church on a Wednesday night, so you've started out pretty good. Yep. Glory to God. Not everybody's doing that tonight. They're watching Wheel of Fortune or something. I don't know. But you came. Because you're giving yourself to God. Yeah, I'll say that. Church, what I've seen, and I know God's used me this way a lot. I'm kind of a needle. I push people. And, you know, everybody teases me about mama whippings, and I think Dee started that. And, but, you know, Nancy will give you a mama whipping. I know y'all know that, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and so we like to listen to it because we'll take it. But what I found out, and then it was confirmed at the tent meeting, because when I went out there to preach, I had my victory sermon already, And well, the further I got into it, the more I knew I was going to have to give them a little shove. And I did. And I gave them a little shove, and they all took it. Now, this is like the third meeting I've been to this year where they're taking it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the places when I had to tell the person who's getting the music together, that ain't going to work. And she took it. But I knew that wasn't going to go where Holy Spirit was going to go. And so I feel that God has given me that push. Now, I'm not going to butt into other people's ministries, but I knew where the leader would want me to go, so I went there. So after the preaching, one of my favorite persons, person I love a lot, Brandon Holler, he came up to me and he said, "Man, I'm so glad you did that." He said, "You know, I just had to do that with my people." He said, "Because you have to push ahead." So I started thinking about that. We're going to have to push ahead. So we're going to have to take it. Because what does the prophet say this year was? It's a year of correction, direction, protection, perfection, and provision. So if you're willing to take the correction, then you're going to get your direction. Hey, I'm willing to do that. I want that in my life. Do you? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, how will God's promises, how shall God's promises come to us fulfilled unless we respond? They're not going to be fulfilled unless we say yes. If I offer you a cookie, unless you take your hand out and take it, it's not going to happen. So we have to learn to respond, and we have to learn to follow the Holy Spirit as He's leading us through these days. And really, I think that mankind has just been kind of, well, has been traditionally deaf both to the lessons of history. I mean, we've seen, if you'll allow me to go there, we've seen communism take over many countries, and that's not what God called America to be. And then also just kind of deaf to the summons of the Holy Spirit. Because that guy who wrote that and said that the Brazilians prayed, they knew what to do. They prayed and they came out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you with me? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to tell you. The answer is not griping and complaining about everything that's going on in politics. It's praying.
Yeah.
Praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, this is my point. We need to all be part of the prayer army. And, you know, it's real easy. It's real easy to say, well, I'm going to leave that to the thermostats and the Tuesday group. They'll just pray for it all. And I do know, church, I understand that there are some people who have a sense about them that they feel more called to pray than others in a certain way and so on. But truthfully, in this time, we need to all make our supply. And, so on this subject, that was actually my introduction, but my word won't take as long. On this subject, I just want to go two places really quick here. Number one, I want to talk to you about staying on course even when it looks like it's getting darker. Mm-hmm. Now that, whatever level that is in your life and in the country, you know. And then I also want to talk to you about prophets and prayers and how they work together. So we're just going to kind of do this quickly and then we'll move through it in the weeks ahead. We'll talk more about this. But, and eventually we'll get more back to what all Elijah is about, because he is a notable example of what we need to do. So let's just set this up just to make sure that everyone understands a few certain things. The devil has already been defeated. Yes? Okay. Good. But he's still here. Okay. Have you ever noticed, and maybe some of you haven't experienced this, but many of you may have you ever been in a situation where someone needed to be delivered of something demonic and you prayed for them and you know you prayed right, but you didn't seem to notice that anything left? Can we take this?
Yeah.
Okay. But then a couple of days later, they're delivered.
Yeah.
Now walk with me. Just walk with me. Jesus said in John 12:31, now the prince of this world be cast out. Okay? So Jesus is saying the devil has been cast out, but he's still here. Okay? The devil was cast out, but he's still here. Now, you just have to walk through this with me. The devil is defeated totally.
Right.
We know that everything's been taken care of, but we haven't seen him be thrown in the lake of fire yet. And that's my point. That Jesus was talking about that as well. Now, he's here, but he works subtly on mankind. And here's what we know. He doesn't know what you're thinking, does he? He doesn't know what you're thinking. He just spies on your behavior and watches for words. He's a dead spirit, church. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He's not God. But he's watching. We call that familiar spirits. Y'all do understand that there's a dark world around you? Okay. Just making sure. So he's got spies out there. But we're told, I'm going to walk through this a little bit slower and we'll end up at the right place. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means with a road. With a road. There's one way. It's an avenue. Satan or the devil has one way to get to you. That one way is called deception.
Yeah.
He can only lie. Mm-hmm. You can either pass it by or you can speak and agree with him.
Yeah.
And then you've been deceived.
Yeah.
If he says, I'm a nobody, and he's saying that in your mind and you start repeating that, you've gone into deception. If he says, it's very unholy to have money, and you agree with that, then he's just deceived you. That's like saying it's very unholy to have a hammer. It's still all tools. Okay? I'm trying to help everybody on every level right now. I know you guys are veterans, but there might be someone listening who needs to hear about wiles, okay? So put up with it. So he lies, but he has no authority unless you give it to him. That's why the word of faith people are right.
Yep.
They want you to say the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, Deb's a word of faith, obviously. I got one. Yeah, let me try it over here. That's why he wants you to say the right thing. Okay, that's better. Praise the Lord. Now, where were all the people that sit over here? We need to start calling them up. Well, some of them are in the back. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he seduces, then he controls on a lot of levels. And we see that clearly. We understand that. But you have to understand that the enemy wants to remain hidden in the spirit and the soul of man so that he can subtly control him by his mesmeric spirit. He just wants to mesmerize you.
Yeah.
And that's what, okay, now don't get mad at me. I'm not against going to the movies. But let me just tell you, a lot of that stuff is just made to lull you into a bunch of junk. This is acceptable. Well, this isn't so bad. Well, you better have your guns loaded when you're watching. And you better make some choices when you do what, because it'll just lull you into whatever. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this.
Okay.
There was a tweet that went out today against one of the representatives, four lies, all in a row, just made up. And the person who wrote it said, now we don't really know if this is true, but if you feel like it's true, we want you to go ahead and retweet it. Just so, oh, well, okay. And some of the people answered with these really nice, what they think is nice, replies. However, that meant they were believing the trash. Now, what I love about this representative is at the end, she said, four Pinocchios, y'all need Jesus. But that kind of stuff just lulls people. You better watch out what you believe, church, on either side. Don't go in the ditch either way. Amen. But just listen to the Holy Ghost. Now, so he likes to remain hidden. And then he can control on a lot of levels. So, look, now, the Lord could have just ripped all this out and thrown him away. Okay? He could have just got him out of your psyche, out of your, away from your spirit. But if he did that, there wouldn't be heart changes. And so, by his passion, death, resurrection, ascension, he brought forth exousia. This is important. Exousia is what? Authority. Dunamis is power. Exousia is authority. So Ephesians 1 says that God put him in the higher place. Remember Ephesians 1? And that he's the head of the body, which then puts us in a higher place. So God, Jesus, has given us authority. And so the way we live our lives is not, God, please get the devil out of my life. It's get out, devil.
That's right.
By my authority, you're out.
Yes.
Get off my cousin. Get off my stuff. Get out of my money. Get off my body.
Amen.
Get out of my finances. That's up to you. Brother Hagin, which y'all have heard it many times, Brother Hagin had 8 visitations from Jesus. In one of the visitations, a spirit stepped in between them and started going yakety-yak, yakety-yak. And Brother Hagin's trying to listen to Jesus. Jesus go right on teaching Brother Hagin what he wanted to know. I know someone in here right now is thinking, why did Brother Hagin get 8 visitations? I'll tell you why. Because at that time in the world, the Christians had lost a lot of truth. And so truth had to get back into the church. And so the word himself had to show up.
Amen.
So anyway, so the guy's yakking. And finally, Brother Hagin has enough and says, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And that spirit went whoop and was gone. And Jesus said, well, I'm glad you finally did that. He says, well, why didn't you do it? He says, I can't. I've already given that to you. I've already given that to you. I'm not doing it in the earth anymore. You're doing it in the earth. He's the head, but he wants the body to do it in the earth. He is the Lord God, King of the universe, but his body is in charge on this earth. He did that at Adam. Okay, praise the Lord. This turned out better than I thought. So the battle's won, but Holy Spirit moves. Now listen to this part as we come down the home trail here. The battle is won. And I want to make sure you clearly hear me on this, because I don't want you to go, Pastor, have you flipped out? Just walk with me. The Holy Spirit exposes things.
Yes, he
does.
And if the Holy Spirit is going to free you, you have to know what you're being freed from. Okay? So, when you're tired and fed up with stuff that's going on, I want you to just remember something. It might be taking a long time for justice right now, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen in your life. Whatever's unjust in your life, whatever's not working right for you, or whatever is not working right in this country or the whole world. Because it seems like the whole world's on fire. But it's going to go, justice will happen. This is not the end of the end. It's the end, but not the end of the end. We are in the Great Awakening. You remember before you were saved, or maybe you were saved, but you just had a little word. You were just barely into the word, or maybe you went to a church where there wasn't much word or whatever. You could play act righteousness. Come on. You could play act righteousness with a little dent of fleshly determination. You could, yes, I'm a good person. How many people have you said you think you're going to heaven? And they'll go, yeah. And you'll say, why? And they'll say, well, I think I'm a good person. Have you heard that? That ain't going to take you to heaven. But how many people have you, I mean, a lot of people we've witnessed to. That's, Jesus said only God is good. Doesn't mean you don't do good things, but your righteousness comes totally from Jesus. Okay, so, but you know, you can play act the righteousness, little flesh of determination. You can congratulate yourself for being a pretty nice person. Well, Satan doesn't want to disturb that phony front. Okay? And so, he has then a secure hiding place in you. But when Holy Spirit came, you didn't turn out to be so nice. You started going, oh, did I do that? Did I say that? And you started self-correcting. You started noticing that you weren't all that in a bag of chips. The Holy Spirit causes the enemy to surface. You'll start seeing your insecurities. You'll start seeing your pride. You'll start seeing where you've fallen off on obedience and such. You'll start seeing it because Holy Spirit's going, hey. Now I realize some people are so seared that they can't even tell anything about themselves. They're called reprobate mind. They're just so into it and so seared over that they just have lied to themselves so much that they can't even tell. But we don't have to be that way. Amen. We can be the kind of people that will humble ourselves and say, Lord, just, I'll take the correction. Show me. Show me about this personality. Show me what I need. Show me when I'm being unlovely. Show me when I need to treat other people a different way. And so on and so on and so on. We could talk about a million things right there. But when Holy Spirit came in, you began to change. And when that happens, when things come to the surface, listen to me, because I want you to get this about everything we're talking about. When that comes to the surface, you need to know this. That's the last step before complete healing. When everybody wakes up, or when I wake up and I go, oh, gee, help me, Lord, I need to change this. And by grace, it'll happen. And you may have to run at it quite a few times, but eventually you're going to win. Because Holy Spirit's helping you with this. Remember what I always tell you. The Lord is gonna ask you to do something, and he's gonna help you do it, and then he's gonna reward you for doing it.
Yeah.
That's our God. He's amazing. So you start sensing that. So what I'm trying to tell you is the increase of evil all about us, all around us, may be the result of the Holy Spirit deep at work in the middle of mankind, bringing everything to the surface. This stuff isn't new. You know, those of us that are baby boomers, there's a few of us in here. We lived in a time where everything was pretty good. It's pretty good. Now, there, Vietnam, things like that. There were hard things that people went through. But things are pretty good. So it's a little harder for us as we're in this place we're all in right now in the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But when these things are surfaced and come up, that's when healing can take place. Because if you just go put a Band-Aid on this, it's going to repeat itself. But if you can just, can't be that vile and say what I want to say right now, but I'll just say it like this. If you can just squeeze all the junk out of it, is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a point. You got to get everything out of the wound to clean it. That's what I'm trying to say. And so the more that washes up, they don't call things swamp for nothing. The more things that washes up, the more we can become aware of what we need to pray, what we need to say, not against people, against the evil, against the darkness, when we can actually see it. And I'm telling you, the more that comes up, the more people are seeing it, and the more people that see. There are a lot of people right now that are going, oh, they are. They're literally going, yeah, I think I was wrong about that. But see, now, church, you have to understand, not everybody's reading the Bible.
Come on.
There are many Christians that don't even read the Bible. So they forget what God wants. Y'all get it. Okay. So, Satan wants all of mankind to put on this face of goodness. And then he remains hidden, controlling through unconscious levels that plunge men into hatred and hostilities, and they think it's right. Well, we'll go out and we'll tear up a town because we hate this. It's hatred. Or we'll make black people think that white people are this and that, and it barely exists in many settings. We're just gonna make racism so big because we need y'all to focus on this.
Right.
When really, it isn't as horrible as it's been made, but the enemy's gonna try to turn the devil against black and white and brown and yellow and whatever. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. When you probably don't even notice the difference of who's black, brown, white, or... You're saying, now what was that? No, I'm gone. I don't know. I wasn't even paying attention. Because that's how you feel about it, see? But that evil tries to get in there and do these things. But now have you noticed that black and white and brown are all coming forth saying, uh-uh, we don't feel like that. I know I'm talking about the things that go on in the world, but I'm really didn't want to even hardly steer there that much, but it just seems to be coming out. But I also want this to take this for our own congregation, our own thoughts, our own lives, the way the Church of the Living God is marching through the world, if you will. So please take it that way as well. I'll just say it short like that. So... Now, don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not saying that God brought the trouble to teach you. I'm saying that he has to get things to the surface to get it fixed. That's why we teach you to look at your emotions. Because your emotions will teach you what your problem is. Don't throw anything at me. When you're jealous... you need to ask yourself why. When you're one up in somebody or you're the know-it-all in the group and then people start moving away from you, you might want to ask yourself why. When you get Tabasco sauce coming up your legs every few minutes, you might want to ask yourself why. Or if you just think you're a nobody all the time and you're the last one that would be picked, you need to ask yourself why. Why do I feel like this? Why is this going on? Because Holy Spirit's trying to make you realize what it is about you, and then he'll make the correction.
Amen.
Why is the country like this? It's real easy for me. People gave up on God. And he won't bust through, but he will bring everything to the surface, bring light, and then he'll be welcomed right back in. And I guarantee you, you're going to see that in this country. You will see a country that loves God again. You're going to see a country that is blessed again. You're going to see a thriving country again. Well, I can't hardly believe it. Well, you need to keep listening to me, because I'm telling you, it will happen because of this one thing. We're in the Great Awakening.
Yep.
And God's not finished winning souls.
That's right.
What happens after that? I don't know. I know evil will eventually come back. But it's not time yet. And God loves America, and
yes,
God loves you, and God loves Victory Church, and God loves your children, and God wants you to win, and God will bring things to the surface so you can take the correction, get your direction, and get things fixed.
Amen.
Well, Lord, why am I broke? Well, just let it all come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I always sick? Just let it all come to the surface. You'll find out. The thing about, I want to say just these last few things. The thing about you, where you are, even though the world's going through all it's going through, you live in the secret place. You're in Goshen. So you're actually in a walled place behind the blood of Jesus. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The lights are on in Goshen. The firstborn is not dying in Goshen. The curse is not in Goshen. God will find a way for you to pay at that gas pump. Don't join in on the curse with words. Just say, thank you, Lord, that you pay for my gas. I think it was John told me today that there was a guy parked out at the pump watching the TV on the gas pump because he couldn't afford his television anymore because he had to pay too much for gas. So he's just watching the pump, gas pump. It's a joke. I thought it was funny. There's going to be times that things surface for us this year, and we've already seen it. But along with those surfacings, what I'm seeing is these suddenlies.
Yeah.
So just hang in there. Keep praying. Mm-hmm. We're going to see a turnaround. Now, real quickly, we got 4 minutes. Let's talk about prophets and prayers, and I'll just do this quick. And then we'll hit it next week. I learned something a long time ago from the person I call my prayer mentor. And about intercessors and prophets working together. The intercessors, the prayers will pray, they'll pray, they'll pray, they'll pray, they keep praying, and then a prophet will come in as the prayers have been prayed, and they'll declare, and there'll be a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Y'all look at me like, what? It's true. Remember what we said about Elijah? He's wearing a mantle that covers.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophets carry a certain authority. And I know you may be thinking, well, they don't have anything we don't have. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. The fivefold ministry is carrying something that not every person is carrying because God ordained it that way. I'll help you with that in just a second. Let me just walk through this. They pray, and then there's a breakthrough. I'm going to give you an example. When George Bush was running for president, we met with thousands of prayers, maybe 5,000. And we prayed. We were praying and praying because we felt like he was supposed to get elected. We felt like he was God's choice. So we prayed and prayed. And we then went to the next meeting where the prophet came. And when the prophet came, now you'll remember this when I say it. When the prophet came, he yells out, "We've got Florida."
Yep.
Y'all remember that?
Yep.
Hanging chads. Florida was the one hanging in the balance.
Yep.
So we didn't find out till the next day that George Bush won the election. Y'all remember that? But yet the prophet had already declared it. That same prophet, there was prayer, 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 and then that prophet said, the Berlin Wall will fall. Right after he said that, Reagan got up and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. Remember that? Reagan gets credit for it. Brother Copeland prophesied it. So we're praying, and then this extra push will come along and push us on through.
Right.
Are y'all getting that? I need to know it, because I'll go back over it another time if we need to. We can stay till about 10, and I'll keep working on it. Just kidding. Okay. Prophets speak destiny. That's why when you get a prophetic word, God is trying to draw your destiny. If it's a prophet speaking to you, even if it's a word of prophecy from someone who operates in that, they're trying to bring you to your destiny. And if you agree with it, and you think it's right and you agree with it, it will pull you into that destiny. There's the power to change things if you believe, thus saith the Lord, da-da-da-da, and you go, I take that in the name of Jesus. Then you're set up to be pulled into that destiny. But if you hear a word and you just go, well, I don't know, I hope it comes true. You didn't take it. You left it out on the shelf. Okay, you got it? So there's that certain authority. Paul said, now listen, here's my proof. Paul said, first apostles and prophets. Now, the religious world pulled apostles and prophets out of the church, tried to say they no longer exist, and everyone was pastors and evangelists and teachers. Y'all, we went through that for years. And then, 15, 20 years ago, all of a sudden it rose up that prophets and apostles need to be recognized. And so they came back up into the church, and people realized that there was an order to things, and there was an authority to things. And when they began to get that right, we began to see the church move into glory, into new places. Yeah. Amen. So that is what's happened, and now it's going even further than that. So their job is to stand at the wall to see what the Lord is doing, so that they can call the body to respond appropriately. Yeah. So I'm just going to tell you right now that I've stood at the wall, and I'm going to tell you how to respond appropriately. Mm-hmm. Pray.
Yes.
That's what we need to do. Yep. We need to pray. Not just, oh, Lord, please bless me and bless my bank account.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Not get so-and-so to quit being mean to me. But pray for God's will to be done, and souls to be saved, and ministers to get to where they need to go, and churches to be full of the glory. Pray for these things so that God's will can be done. I know you all, and you're not a people that just care about yourselves.
Right.
You want to see God's will done. It's so easy just to take a few minutes and say, Jesus, show me how to pray. And I'm going to say this about such and such. And you're going to watch it happen. Mm-hmm. Hank Kuhneman prophesied in March that there would be extreme heat in the wrong place of the year. And there has been. Hank Kuhneman then declared that God was going to bring a cooling. And it's coming. Mm-hmm. And those things represent what's going to, everything's going to heat up. And then it's going to cool off.
Praise God.
And you can count on that. He's got a very good record. And we're going to see it happen. Need to believe the prophets and you'll prosper. Amen. Okay, I'm closing. So we're going to stand at the wall and tell the body what we can do in the appropriate way. So the prophet stands at the water tap of favor. Okay. And at Father's command, they can turn it off or turn it on. Okay? So, they are able to do, like he declared extreme heat. He's not trying to punish us. We'll be cool anyway. We'll find a way to be cool unless we're going to complain about it, which, God will keep you cool. Come on. God will give you gas. God will give you Infamil if you need it. God will find a way for you. He absolutely will find a way for you. Yeah, he will. Well, you're his kid. You will do whatever it takes to feed your children. So will he. But it's not hard for him. So, prophets will say things, is what I'm trying to help you with, to make things come to the top. But then you're going to see the hand of God when it happens. The Lord has blessed me sometimes. I might misjudge someone's character sometimes and let them a little closer than maybe I should have, or let, and the Lord will find a way to surface the problem before the sheep are harmed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we got to be watching. Now, just as for the mantle, I'll just say this as we close. We're going to touch on it just briefly. That mantle that Elijah was wearing, I'm touching on it because I told you I would on Sunday. That's symbolic of the call and the covering on a prophet. They're anointed, but they're on a prophet. It's like having the anointing and then a covering over that thing. It's about authority. It's a covering and a calling. Every person within the sound of my voice is anointed if you want to be. But apostles and prophets fivefold have a, they're called from the womb. It doesn't come along later, like maybe you decided you were going to be a techie guy or a salesman or whatever, and the Lord showed you're going to be. Fivefold's called from the womb. And so they have this particular spiritual garment. I don't want to take too long. We'll come back to it. But you're going to see it. I'll say it like this, and we can close with this. They're wrapped in God's authority. They're wrapped in God's authority. So you get the prayers going, and then you get certain declarations coming forth, and things will change. And that's what when you get the body together. What happened, if you'll watch, Elijah's so much our inspiration because you can watch him move in God. You remember, go let the ravens feed you. Now the brook dries up. Now go to Zarephath. There's a widow there who's going to, you're like, what? Ravens are going to feed me. They're going to eat it before it gets to me. But he didn't go that way. Come on. I'm helping somebody right now. Right now. You're thinking, that can't happen. They didn't eat it. They fed him. And then he goes to a widow and she takes care of him. But see, everybody's focused when you preach it, everybody's focused on the widow. What she got, what she did. But did you stop and think about what Elijah was doing? God was leading him from place to place to place so that he would start thinking with God. And when he thought with God, he was able to increase his authority. He became so bold that they drenched, 12 barrels of water when they built the thing to do the Baal thing. Remember the prophets of Baal and fire was supposed to come down thing? That thing was soaky, 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 soaky wet just to prove that God was on his side. But when he hit that thing, God came down. Why? Because he walked with God and he learned to follow the exact trail that God was leading him on. That ought to help somebody right there. You can listen. He listened. What he was doing, remember Terry here, I pray thee. So Elijah and Elisha. So he's actually thinking with God as he's walking to the place where he's going to be taken out of the earth. Yeah. That was y'all's homework. Mm-hmm. So what's Elisha doing? Elisha keeps following him, showing us that he's acting just like Elijah did. I'm going to follow you from place to place to place. And they're saying, hey, don't you know your master's going to be taken away? He's saying, shut up. Excuse me. Be quiet. Get out of here. I know he's going to be taken up, but I'm going with him. And it said, if you see me, you will have a double portion of my spirit. So there again, we're back to you have to pay attention. And so Elijah paid attention. Elisha paid attention. He got a double portion. It's what the firstborn always gets. He got the double portion. Did you know Elijah did 8 miracles and Elisha did 16? Well, things were really strange then. What about those little children that the bear ate? Because Elisha was so mean. The park ranger tried to get him out of the park. No. No. He couldn't help it. Hey, boo-boo, a picnic basket. No. He's saying, they said, go up, you bald one. You don't have any authority over you. And he had that mantle. He was now wrapped in the authority of God. And those were not children. When you read the original, they weren't children. They were young people smarting off like an old gang somewhere. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't smart off to the prophet. I think we can close right there. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Church, pray. Join a prayer group, okay? Pray with each other. Call up somebody and say, let's get together and pray. Pray. Right now, be praying. Some people pray real long. I pray a lot, but it's not long. I just pray a lot of times. Yeah. The most I pray long is with the thermostats usually. Mm-hmm. But I'll pray all day long. Mm-hmm. Just when you find yourself in a place, just lift up your heart to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to say? And what if it's just not always, Lord, I wish you'd make it rain. We need to correct that.
Yeah. What the word?
Lord, the scripture says, Miss Joy is not here, is she? The scripture says in Deuteronomy 11 that in this land, we don't have to water it by hand or by foot because the rains of heaven fall on it. That is my promise. And you won't hold out on the people in Goshen. You won't hold out on your children. So even if it has to just rain on my property, I can have it. I said that this morning and I looked at the radar and there's one cloud out here to the northwest. As big as a hand. Some people will get that. That's what Elijah did. He saw one cloud. When you see one cloud, you're getting a promise. So just pray. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to speak in King James. Oh, thou God, will thou'st please. Just say, Lord, what do you want me to say? Who do you want me to pray for? And then you can throw your own stuff in there. He's with you. Ron was telling me, he said, Lord, what do you have for me? You think, well, that's a good prayer. Lord, what do you have for me? Because he has something for you. Yes. Amen. Yes.